9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
The campus of Morgan State University continues to expand. President Dr. David Wilson broke ground on a new world-class building this morning.
City residents will see an increase in their grocery bills as the plastic bag ban goes into effect tomorrow.
Thousands of Haitian migrants are headed towards the U.S. border again, seeking asylum. We'll have the latest.
Morgan was birthed in Baltimore City more than 154 years ago. And in that span of time,
our very own Morgan State University broke ground this morning on the new Health and Human Services building. This $171 million construction will house state-of-the-art classrooms, labs, and meeting spaces, ushering in a new era of innovation and community engagement. The new Health and Human Services building will house the School of Community Health and Policy, the School of Social Work, and the Center for Urban Health and Equity, as well as the University of the University's Counseling Center. Dr. David Wilson, president of Morgan State University, spoke about the Morgan momentum and why it's important in the future.
Morgan was birthed in Baltimore City more than 154 years ago. And in that span of time, and tens of thousands of graduates later, this institution has evolved and blossomed into the anchor institution that it is today, recognized for its preeminence in research, excellence in teaching, and academic outreach. We at Morgan are putting this institution on a path to become, perhaps, the first HBCU in the nation to say we are R1 research status, we are flagship, and we're going to lead the nation in producing the evidence-based research for policymakers and others, particularly when they're looking at the plight of marginalized communities and African-American communities and Latinx communities. They know what to do with on Monday morning. Morgan wants to achieve R1 research status by 2030, and we want to get there on our own terms.
This new building is part of over $600 million in new construction across Morgan State's campus. This construction is expected to be completed in 2024.
The plastic bag ban in Baltimore City goes into effect tomorrow. Residents will now be required to pay 5 cents for a plastic bag during checkout at your favorite grocery store, restaurant, corner store, gas station. The Morgan News Hour's Gabriel Ortiz spoke with Mayor Brandon Scott today and asked him, is the bag fee a type of regressive tax?
Well, a couple of things. One, we're going to be providing a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important for folks to understand when you go to those communities that folks are talking about, the places, the markets that are there, Save-A-Lot, Aldi, already charged for plastic bags. Mm-hmm. So culturally, folks are used to bringing their own bag, or unfortunately, in those cases, paying a quarter versus 5 cents. But it's about us making sure that we provide bags for as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. Also, as I said during my press conference, listen, this is Baltimore. I know I probably have more than a year's supply underneath my kitchen sink. So many other people do as well. And we can do that and while we're working to make sure we get people reusable bags.
Baltimore City has distributed reusable bags to local residents and plan to do so over the next few weeks. A number of new laws take effect tomorrow, October 1st. They include new police and criminal justice reforms, new voting rights laws, and new protections for LGBTQ people. Here are some of the new laws on the books. Anton's Law. This law limits the use of no-knock warrants and limits them to daylight hours. It also makes records of police misconduct available for Public Information Act requests. It's named after Anton Black, a 19-year-old African-American who died in police custody in 2018 in a rural town on Maryland's eastern shore. Voting laws. Early voting centers. This law requires early voting centers to be open between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. for each early voting day for presidential general elections. For all other primary and general elections, early voting centers will be required to be open during the hours of 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Also, the law allows additional early voting centers in some counties. LGBTQ protections, the elimination of the gay trans panic defense. This law cancels the so-called gay trans panic defense, which says it was the discovery of the victim's sexual orientation or gender identity that caused the killing and in turn shifts the murder to a manslaughter. Finally, the Flower Branch Act, named after the Flower Branch Apartments where a gas explosion happened in 2016, killing 7 people. This law requires gas service providers to install a new or replace gas service regulators outside residential buildings.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 1,479 new cases were reported in 24 hours. 22 patients were admitted into the hospital, bringing the total number of hospitalizations to 797. And 16 deaths have been reported, bringing the death toll to 10,212. The state's positivity rate is 4.04%.
United Airlines officials say nearly half the employees facing dismissal for refusing to get vaccinated against COVID-19 have received their shots. The cuts that cuts the number of airline workers facing termination from 593 to 320. An airline spokeswoman says the declining number of potential firings shows the company's policy of requiring vaccinations is working. A spokeswoman says, in less than 48 hours, the number of unvaccinated employees who began the process of being separated from the company has been cut almost in half. The United announced the vaccine requirement in August. The airline says about 99% of its workers either got vaccinated or applied for a medical or religious exemption.
Here's what's happening in other news around the region.
Here's what's happening in other news around the region. A historic structure in southwest Baltimore has been torn down. The home known as the Gun-Dried Glass Hospital was demolished after it caught fire earlier this week. The structure sat on a 65-acre plot off Edmiston Avenue and was slated for redevelopment. The building, which once was a psychiatric hospital for children, was set to be restored as part of the second phase of the Uplands development. The cause of the devastating fire is still under investigation. And Horseshoe Casino Baltimore is getting ready for the start of sports betting in Maryland. The South Baltimore Gaming Hall says it will convert the first floor of its building into an entertainment complex that will combine Caesars branded retail sportsbook with table games and a new brew pub concept. The new dining concept will be called the Brew Brothers, and it will offer beer from local breweries, handcrafted cocktails, and a wide-ranging menu. The venue says it will be ready to open for business once it gets approval from the state to operate. That's a look at what's happening in other news around the region. I'm Brigitte McMillan for the Morgan News Hour.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 52. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. Calm wind becoming northwest around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Calm wind. Now for your weekend outlook. Saturday, sunny with a high near 78. Calm wind around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 59. Sunday, a chance of showers after 3 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 81. Sunday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of rain is 40%. Monday, a chance of showers throughout the day. Partly sunny with a high near 80. Chance of rain is 60%. I'm Cheyenne Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
There are reports that tens of thousands of Haitian migrants are making their way through Mexico toward the U.S. border where they plan to seek asylum. Victor Escalon with the Texas Department of Safety says these caravans are a direct result of the Biden administration's catch-and-release policies, which set free thousands of Haitian immigrants that were living under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas. Escalon says they are gearing up to meet them.
We are aware of it. We will address it. We will move assets quickly, aggressively, to deter and stem that flow. I've heard Texas. I've heard Arizona. I've heard California. But we're mindful, and we'll move quickly to stem that flow. They're on social media, and they're pushing out to the rest of the South America, Central America, Haiti, hey, we're getting cut loose.
Congress is getting closer to reaching an agreement to prevent another government shutdown. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris.
We have an agreement on the CR, the continuing resolution to prevent a government shutdown.
That's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Senators have reached a deal to avert a government shutdown. Now, this stopgap funding bill is good until December the 3rd. And while the government won't shut down, the president's massive infrastructure package still has an uphill battle. The House is expected to vote, and it looks like Dems may not have enough support for it to go through, even within their own party between progressives and moderates. Now, progressives are vowing to vote against the bill if it comes up before a $3.5 trillion social spending bill, also known as a human infrastructure package. Senator Bernie Sanders.
You got 95% of House members, Democratic, in the Democratic caucus, 95% of the Senate Democratic caucus. The American people, the President of the United States, want to pass this legislation.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
So from the previous story where they were talking about Haitian migrants, Victor Escalon with the Texas Department of Safety made some comments that I thought were concerning. Let's take a listen.
We are aware of it. We will address it. We will move assets quickly, aggressively to deter and stem that flow. I've heard Texas. I've heard Arizona. I've heard California. But we're mindful and we'll move quickly to stem that flow. They're on social media and they're pushing out to the rest of the South America, Central America, Haiti. Hey, we're getting cut loose.
It just looks like these border agents are ready to gear up and ride their horses again. And there was a couple other comments from there, but those were the three that I put together.
Yeah, he said quickly and aggressively that they were ready to go in there and to do the work. It sounds a little scary.
Those are code words.
Yeah.
Like they're ready to, you know, get this going again.
Yeah, they have everything already shipped up or packed out, or whatever the case may be. When all they have to do is just get in the cars and just go for it.
Right.
So no, it sounds pretty scary, you know, how they're treating these Haitian migrants while they're seeking asylum, you know.
Which is their right to do.
Which is their right to do, exactly. And also with the Biden administration, the president said that they were able to do that. So that's what they're doing now. But you have Victor Escalon saying that they're about to ship out.
Right.
And go get them.
Yeah. And because he even mentioned he wasn't sure where they were coming, if they were coming into Texas or California, but wherever they were going to be ready for.
Right. And obviously he's going to go out to California or whatever the case may be to go get them. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, we talked about this before. These Haitian migrants have come over here from their devastation back in Haiti, where they don't have anything. And they've come to the one country that it seems where people are able to seek asylum, where not to say the gates are open, but you will be able to come over to America, because America is builds itself upon, you know, we're here for immigrants. You can come over, all that stuff. So
that's what's at the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly. That's what the Statue of Liberty is exactly what it is for at Ellis Island, where, you know, people's families
came over from
over everywhere. So it's just very interesting. Maybe they should go through New York, but joking. But, you know, it's just interesting to cut off someone's humanity because you don't agree with where they come from or how they're coming in. How else would they be able to get in?
Mm-hmm. And you look at, and we had talked about this too, just a different treatment again, you know, with the Afghans.
Yes.
And they were fleeing, you know, a dictator, pretty much a dictatorship. The Taliban coming in.
Exactly. Then over in Haiti, their president was assassinated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have still political turmoil from both ends, but you have one side being treated as though, you know, with more respect than the other side.
One story that came up today, and we were talking about it, was Bill Cosby's reaction to R. Kelly's verdict.
Yes. So Bill Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt says that his client, who's Bill Cosby, feels like R. Kelly was railroaded, and he goes on to say that what we're seeing today in America is an assault on black men and an assault on successful black men doing great things. I really am not sure of all the great things that R. Kelly has done. Right. And we mentioned in the newsroom that Bill Cosby must be delirious. I know that he got out on a technicality. And that doesn't mean that what you were sentenced for wasn't...
Yeah, you didn't do it. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So these men are very interesting in the way that they are, you know, they choose to defend a person who has ample amount of evidence against them. And we even talked about how the judge didn't let some of his victims testify because of
the graphic nature of what occurred. He denied, or not denied, but just didn't have them testify.
Because of what happened to them. So he didn't want that. Didn't want them to have to go through those, I guess, those memories or those images again, or even have the people in the courtroom be subjected to that. Right. We all, saw the things that R. Kelly has done. You know, there was a documentary that was put out. His wife is speaking out. Mm-hmm. And even one of his victims, Azriel Clary, just spoke with Gayle King again this morning, you know, about that verdict coming out, where we saw her, was it last year, when she was still underneath R. Kelly, and you know, she was crying, very hysterical about how, you know, we don't understand what was going on in that house. And also, we spoke about the Illinois Congressman Danny K. Davis saying that also R. Kelly, he said that R. Kelly can get a second chance when he comes back home to Chicago.
He ain't coming back home.
Yeah, he said that, saying that R. Kelly can be redeemed there. So, you know, I'm saying
they enabled him there. You know, they knew what was going on.
Yeah, very much so. They knew what was going on. A lot of people, I think, were being paid underneath the table, of course. So, and it's not just R. Kelly. Everybody is complicit in this case. Like the people who he was around, even the parents, and you know, everybody. So, Bill Cosby, and then you have this Congressman Davis.
They're not great character witnesses.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Absolutely not. I don't think a man, Bill Cosby, who went to jail on a rape charge should be speaking about someone else's rape charge.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at there.
Yes.
All right. Make sure to download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Mornings with Mikal, personalized just for you, with the best in neo-soul, R&B, and the classics. Valencia Charmaine presents Holistic Choices with the Balance, arts and entertainment that connects our neighbors with something in common. Around Town with Downtown Kevin Brown. Southern Soul with Miss Peach's Brown Bag Music Series. The things that make you feel real good. Mornings with Mikal, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. till noon on WEAA 88.9.
Welcome to the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour.
Do you have any trepidation about coming back on campus?
I am glad that they made the vaccine mandatory.
I am Kendra Pugh of WEAA.
I'm Andre Melton. We're going to bring you the latest in sports news.
WEAA student reporter Jasmine Johnson.
I'm Carol Williams for the Morgan News Hour.
Listen to the Morgan News Hour, 6 p.m. weekdays.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM, and thanks for joining us. Now let's get a check on your weather.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 52. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. Calm wind becoming northwest around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Calm wind. Now for your weekend outlook. Saturday, sunny with a high near 78. Calm wind around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 59. Sunday, a chance of showers after 3 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 81. Sunday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of rain is 40%. Monday, a chance of showers throughout the day. Partly sunny with a high near 80. Chance of rain is 60%. I'm Cheyenne Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Morgan State University has been selected to participate in a project to reduce food waste. Student reporter Rochelle Keaton has more.
Morgan State University has joined efforts to help the United States reach the goal to reduce food waste by 2030. The university has been selected as one of the 14 partner institutions to participate in a $15 million five-year project funded by the United States National Science Foundation. Morgan State University, along with partner institutions, have established the first national academic research network on wasted food with the NSF grant. The network is expected to further research of how the causes of wasted food are interconnected and how they intersect with other regional systems beyond food. The project is titled Multiscale, Resilient, Equitable, and Circular Innovations with Partnership and Education Synergies for Sustainable Food Systems or Recipes. It was awarded under NSF's Sustainable Regional Systems Research Network program. NSF research creates knowledge and solutions that enhance sustainability, equity, and resilience of regional systems in the United States. I'm Rochelle Keaton reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
A Morgan State University prodigy has won an important scholarship, and today, reporter Sharnay Jackson tells us more.
One of Morgan State University scholar is celebrating a great achievement. Senior biology major and chemistry minor Michaela Harris was awarded a $15,000 scholarship award from a research program, Astronaut Scholarship Foundation. She is among the 60 students from over 44 nationwide colleges to receive this award. It's awarded to top-performing juniors and seniors with intentions on pursuing advancement in research in STEM after graduation. She applied to the scholarship program to put more attention on not only women, but Black women in STEM. Harris is now the second recipient from Morgan State to receive this award. She intends using this achievement to continue her passion for science and clinical research. The 16-year-old violin player knows her end goal is to help people in the community. She is a May 22 graduate, and after she plans to take a gap year to focus on getting into medical school. Morgan and WEAA congratulates Michaela for her hard work in winning the scholarship. I'm Chardonnay Jackson reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State University. He is also the sports editor for the Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEAA fam. This is Tariq Turner. On Wednesday, Morgan State senior defensive tackle Mo Dendo was named as one of 176 semifinalists for the William V. Campbell Trophy, which is awarded to the college football player with the best combination of academics, community service, and on-field performance. We would like to personally congratulate each of the nominees as well as their schools and coaches on their tremendous accomplishments, National Football Foundation President and CEO Steve Hatchell said in a statement. We are extremely proud to highlight each semifinalist's achievements, showcasing their ability to balance academics and athletics at the highest level. Dendo is from Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and transferred from the College of Siskiyous as a Northern California All-Conference honorable mention in 2018. He has accumulated 31 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks in 12 games with the Bears. The preseason All-MEAC selection earned his undergraduate degree in business administration in May and is currently pursuing an MBA in business administration. Morgan's volleyball team, who is 3-13, are facing their crosstown rival Coppin State, who is 7-7, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. in Hughes Stadium. Here are 5 things to look forward to ahead of tomorrow night's matchup.
The Lady Bears are hosting their crosstown rival Coppin State Friday night in Hughes Stadium at 6 p.m. Here are 5 things to look forward to ahead of tomorrow night's game. Thing number 1. Friday will be freshman outside hitter Madison Grace's first game since being named MEAC Volleyball Rookie of the Week for a second time. Grace had 18 kills, 2 digs, and 3 blocks in the team's 3-1 loss to North Carolina Central on September 24th, and 11 kills, 2 digs, and a block in the team's 3-0 win against South Carolina State on September 26. Thing number two, how will Gabriela Hisiano perform? Hisiano had a match-high 11 kills in the team's win against South Carolina State. Thing number three, the Lady Bears have an opportunity to win consecutive games for the first time this season. The volleyball team has not won back-to-back games yet this season. A win on Friday would give them their longest win streak of the season. Thing number four, Morgan seeks revenge. The Lady Bears have not beaten Coppin State since November 8, 2019. They were 0-3 against Coppin during the 2021 spring season. Thing number five, one player to look out for on Coppin is senior outside hitter Mia Javon Coleman. Coleman was recently named the MEAC Volleyball Co-Player of the Week. In Coppin's last game, a 3-2 loss against North Carolina Central, Coleman became the first CSU player to have at least 20 kills and 20 digs in a single match. Coleman posted 24 kills and a career-high 23 digs in the loss.
The Baltimore Orioles were defeated 6-0 last night by the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox finally put it all together, and it didn't matter one bit that this very important victory came at the expense of the last-place Baltimore Orioles. J.D. Martinez and Hunter Renfroe homered to back a dominant pitching performance by Nathan Eovaldi, and Boston broke a four-game skid and bolstered its playoff hopes with a 6-0 shutout Wednesday night. Center fielder Cedric Mullins was honored before the game as the 2021 Orioles MVP after receiving every first-place vote from a panel of media that covers the team on a regular basis. Mullins is the first player in Orioles history to have 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases in a single season, and he was Baltimore's lone representative at the All-Star game. He leads the team in games played, batting average, doubles, triples, stolen bases, and runs. Morgan Esports player Arte Warren was recently named the Discover Community Leader of the Week. Part of the award included a $1,000 grant. In an interview with Discover's Crystal Garner and Karima Winner, Warren discussed receiving the award.
Well, congrats on being the Discover Community Leader of the Week. We know you're doing amazing things in the community, so let's talk about it. What drives you?
Well, first of all, thank y'all so much again for choosing me to be the Discover Community Leader of the Week. I'm really grateful and humbled to have received this honor. Well, I'm an RA here at Morgan, so my job entails me to be... Hey, now.
I did that back in my heyday. We're not going to say what year, but go ahead.
True. my job entails me to be a source for my community. And that's why I applied for it. I love helping people. I love making a positive impact. And I just love showing love to people, showing love to my community to help build everybody else up, to build the community up. And we all build together. Shout out to my residence area, Thurgood Marshall Apartment Complex, hey. Big team at. You know, I had to rep a little bit.
Thurgood Marshall. Look at you. I remember that. I was in there a couple times.
I'm Tariq Turner, and I'll be back tomorrow with more sports news.
Thank you, Tariq. You'll be back in a few minutes.
Sure, I will.
For live sports. And you're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Saturday, October 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Baltimore Metropolitan Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta and the Gamma Omicron Omega Alumni Chapter of Iota Phi Theta will have a pop-up expungement clinic in the North Barclay Green Community Center at 2026 Greenmount Avenue. There will be on-site legal services to help you get a fresh start by clearing your eligible criminal record. Masks are mandatory and COVID guidelines will be strictly enforced. Pre-registration is preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. For registration and more information, Eventbrite under pop-up expungement clinic.
We all love the Dollar Tree. They're going up. Some items are going to be $3 a piece. Some items are going to be up to $5 a piece. But here's the thing. When they announced that they're going to shift their prices, their shares went up 18%.
Family Dollar is the way to go, and this is the reason why. If you got three people in your family, they got some $3 things.
Right.
if you got five people in your family, they have some $5.
What about the people with those huge families? 15. They got some $15 things.
They sure do.
They can accommodate
you. They got lawn chairs and things.
Join us tomorrow for the Friday Live Day Party with DJ Duke. It's Good Morning Baltimore with Kelly Tyler B. and Dre.
Listen live to your favorite public radio station. Streaming now at WEAA.org.
Here's a recap of the top stories from the Morgan News Hour. Morgan State broke ground on a new $171 million state-of-the-art Health and Human Services building this morning. The new Health and Human Services building will house the School of Community Health and Policy, the School of Social Work, the Center for Urban Health and Equity, and the University's Counseling Center.
We at Morgan are putting this institution on a path to become, perhaps, the first HBCU in the nation to say we are R1 research status, we are flagship, and we're going to lead the nation in producing the evidence-based research where policymakers and others, particularly when they're looking at the plight of marginalized communities and African-American communities and Latinx communities, they know what to do with on Monday morning. Morgan wants to achieve R1 research status by 2030, and we want to get there on our own terms.
And the plastic ban goes into effect tomorrow morning in Baltimore City. You are now going to be required to pay 5 cents for plastic bags at the time of checkout of your favorite grocery store, restaurant, corner store, and gas station. Baltimore City has distributed reusable bags to local residents and plan to do so over the next few weeks. That is your recap of the top stories from the Morgan News Hour. Now let's take a look at your weather.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 52. Friday, sunny with a high near 72. Calm wind becoming northwest around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Calm wind. Now for your weekend outlook. Saturday, sunny with a high near 78. Calm wind around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 59. Sunday, a chance of showers after 3 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 81. Sunday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Chance of rain is 40%. Monday, a chance of showers throughout the day. Partly sunny with a high near 80. Chance of rain is 60%. I'm Cheyenne Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
WEAA's Baltimore Ravens reporter, Cordell Woodland, takes a look at the Ravens wide receiver, Hollywood Brown.
Hello, Baltimore. Week 4 of the NFL season is here, and man, I just want time to slow down a little bit. Nevertheless, we've got another great week of football ahead, including the Ravens heading to Denver to take on the Broncos. While the Ravens as a team are looking to repeat their winning ways from last week, wide receiver Marquise Brown is hoping his performance is a full 180 from a week ago. Brown recorded 3 catches for 53 yards on 7 targets in the win over the Lions, but the alarming stat of the day were his 3 drops. By my count, at least 2 of them were potential touchdowns. Lamar also threw an interception on one of his attempted passes to Brown, where it looked like Brown gave up on the route, allowing the defender to get position on him to make the play. Brown's performance was disappointing, and after one of his potential touchdown drops, Coach John Harbaugh was seen talking to him on the sideline. I asked Coach Harbaugh how he balances coaching a player of Brown's caliber up while still holding them accountable.
Our coaches do a great job of coaching the fundamentals of why plays aren't made, and then the balance in terms of just the perspective of it. Is this going to define you, or are you going to write the story differently? You know, so people can write the story on Twitter or wherever they want, and they will. That's just how it works. You know, that's the world we live in. But you're going to write the real story. You know, it's your story to write. So what he does going forward will be up to him, you know, and I have full confidence in him.
The Ravens drafted Brown with the 25th pick in the first round after recording 132 catches, over 2,400 yards, and 17 touchdowns in his 2 years at Oklahoma. Since being drafted 3 years ago, Brown has recorded 119 catches, over 1,500 yards, and 17 touchdowns. The catches are fairly similar and the touchdowns are equal, but the yards are a cause for concern. There's almost a 1,000-yard difference there, which is alarming considering why the Ravens drafted him in the first place. Brown was a big play speed guy in college who made a living getting behind defenses and making them pay. Yet since he's come into the league, the deep ball has arguably been his kryptonite. Make no mistake that it's not due to his lack of running deep routes, because for the better half of his career, he and the fly route were synonymous. For his career, his average depth of target is 12.5 yards, which is what you want from your deep threats. You would just want them to connect on those opportunities a little bit more. Even still, the deep ball isn't the only way to make a play. Brown has been pretty good in the short to intermediate passing game, and when Lamar throws to him, he's more reliable than not. Lamar has a 103.6 passer rating when targeting Brown for his career, so he's been an asset to this offense. I'm sure the team would like Brown to show a little more big play ability after the catch. For his career, he only averages 5 yak yards per catch, meaning yards after catch. Nevertheless, Brown's quarterback believes in him and will continue to be a support system for him.
That's my teammate, but that's my brother at the same time. And, you know, we had mishaps in the game. It was things we seen throughout the game that he seen, things I seen. You know, we were just watching the bad things we did, and we was like, you know, we got to get better. We got to hit this. We got to hit that, you know, because sometimes we might not get a second chance.
Brown will look to bounce back when the Ravens travel to Denver this weekend. He hopes to have his starting quarterback Lamar Jackson throwing him the ball, considering Lamar has missed the last 2 days of practice with a back issue. Time will tell how this unfolds, but we'll see you in Denver, Baltimore. From WEAA, I'm Cordell Woodland.
Live with our sports segment, we're joined today by Tariq Turner and Kendra Pugh. And, oh, there's Dre. Dre is here as well. Kendra, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. So a couple of topics we wanted to touch on today. You had mentioned the Thursday night football game between the Bengals and the Jaguars. These are 2 young quarterbacks. What are your thoughts?
I just think the Bengals are set up better. They have a lot of development around Joe Burrow. I know last year it went a little bit differently. He had that vigorous knee injury, but I just feel like that the Bengals is so much better off than the Jaguars right now, who don't have nothing, not even an offensive line. And I feel like the Bengals front seven is going to have a field day with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, because there's actually another story we want to talk about later, but talking about rookie quarterbacks. Tariq, what do you think?
Yeah, this is what Bill Simmons would call a poofecta game. besides the 2 quarterbacks, Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase, what else is there really to look forward to? These are some of, well, the Bengals aren't doing too terrible this year, but these are not very good teams, so I don't expect the game to be very entertaining, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Dre?
I feel the same way. I feel like Joe Burrow right now, I think his team is set up a little bit better than what the Jags are going on. Both teams are rebuilding right now, but I just feel like right now, the Bengals are headed in a better direction, especially because the Bengals, even within their division, you can see that teams are, they're going to give teams a struggle as opposed to right now the Jags. I like to call Trevor Lawrence Fabio. So this is an interesting matchup to me to have the two number one picks face each other. And this is a matchup for years to come. But I just think right now, like Kendra was saying, the Bengals are just in a better position right now. And you could really see the upside of Joe Burrow right. last year before the knee injury. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Bengals were doing a great job not only evaluating the quarterback that they have, but putting the pieces around him, right. getting Chase in there, trying to continue to work on that offensive line. So I got the Bengals winning tonight.
And you then, also – go ahead, Kendra.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and also I believe that Joe Burrow has something that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have, which is Ja'Marr Chase, who's offensive rookie of the month. Mm.
And, I mean, you also see the struggle with the Jaguars, with, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, who, you know, came from successful college programs to the NFL, and they're seeing how tough it is to actually play. So, mm-hmm. The next topic I want to talk about was there's a story out about rookie quarterbacks this year. The first five first rounders in April's draft have a combined record of 1-9. They're struggling. Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Trevor Lawrence. What are you guys' thoughts on their season so far?
Tariq?
Go ahead, Tariq.
Yeah, so I was listening to the Ryan Russillo podcast the other day, and former Ravens quarterback Trent Dilfer was talking about how it takes rookie quarterbacks some time to be able to learn how to read NFL defenses, and I agree with him. Some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time had rough rookie seasons. I think about Peyton Manning, who threw 28 interceptions. Mm. His rookie season only had 3 wins that year, but then went on to become one of the greatest of all time. Then you think about some people like RG3, who had great rookie seasons but didn't really have great NFL seasons as a whole.
Kendra?
And I also think, like, for example, like most of these teams, like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones, they really didn't come in a great situation to start it off. Like, when you think about some of these teams are struggling. That's one of the reasons why Tom Brady left a couple years ago from the Patriots, because he already knew that they were going to have trouble. The offensive line wasn't what it was. He had to make something out of nothing on the wide receiver side of the ball. So they didn't come into a lot of great situations. So it's going to take them a lot of time to adjust. And hopefully by next season, they can start to build around these young quarterbacks.
Look, I mean, all of them are like you said, all of them are struggling right now. You said they're 1-9 total. I mean, their completion percentage is between 40 to 70. Mm-hmm. Passer rating is between 40 to 80. I mean, it's ups and downs. Mac Jones looks like he has the best out of all of the rookie quarterbacks right now. But I think I haven't been a fan of Zach Wilson, honestly speaking, from the jump. Mm-hmm. I think that Justin Fields, he got a bad deal, but I think that because Matt Nagy's going to want to save his job, he's going to make the adjustments. So I'm not too worried about Justin Fields. Same thing with Trevor Lawrence. They already knew it was going to be a rebuild, both him and the coach. But, they're rookies. They're going to struggle, and it honestly depends on where you go as a rookie. I mean, look at, for example, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. He got into a great situation. So it really depends on where you get drafted at and how great you're going to be. I think all these quarterbacks have a chance, outside of Zach Wilson, to be great. I mean, that's just a dead situation when you go to an organization like the Jets.
Right, because if you look at who's the quarterback he replaced, Darnold?
Sam Darnold. Yeah.
Sam
yeah.
Darnold.
And how
the Panthers are like 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
I think. Yep.
You know, he left the system, and now he's, an all-star. So, did you have something else?
Oh, no, that was it.
Oh, okay. So the big game this week is New England returning to Tom Brady returning to New England to face his old team. Did anyone see the promo from NBC?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Hello from the other side.
Yeah, hello from
the hilarious.
Yes.
From Adele.
Whoever edited that. So if you missed it, it's the Hello song by Adele. And there was a great part in there that says, you know, hello from the other side. So, but what they were saying is the ticket prices for this game is they're going for $1,200 a piece.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
I mean, but cool. it makes sense just based off of Tom Brady's anticipated return. He's going back to a team where he played 20 seasons. But then also, if Tom Brady gets his victory, that means he's going to have a victory against all 32 teams in the league like Peyton Manning has. So everybody wants to see that.
Right. Yeah, and the demand is so strong for tickets and, you know, just the game itself.
But $1,200? Right. I mean, geez.
Or I'm assuming, like, way up.
You know, I know Good Morning Baltimore, we were complaining about Mary J. Blige tickets, but geez.
Right, just to get off topic, I went to go order Mary J. Blige tickets the other day, and I'm good.
Yeah,
I didn't do it.
And then that's my thing also, because most of these people that selling these tickets are resellers, so they're making a profit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When demand increases, they're making a profit off of these tickets.
Look, I can't do it, but if I had to pick somebody right now, I'm gonna say Tampa. They're right now in a better position.
Right.
But I do think that it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout.
Right. I don't think it's going to be.
I agree. I agree with that. It's going to be very close.
Hmm. So Philly fans, who's it? Shady McCoy retired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kendra. You brought that up.
I mean, he did amazing things while he was with Philly. I'm happy they didn't sign him to the 1 day contract and the retire. But can we talk about the fact that he has won 2 Super Bowls on 2 teams that he barely even played?
That's true.
Let's talk about that.
You know what? She's so right about that. You know, when you think about Shady McCoy's career, mainly coming from Philadelphia, but then it just faded after that. And I feel like it's kind of sad because it reminds me of Brian Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
who had a good career in Philly. But then after that, you don't really remember what happened to them. They did make other stops, but you really can't recall their other stops like that outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this last Super Bowl with the Bucks, I believe he was inactive for the game. He didn't even play.
Oh, wow. So he's just collecting rings, huh?
Yeah.
Rings and collecting checks, apparently.
Right. It does say that McCoy is the franchise all-time leading rusher for Philly.
Yep. I remember in 2013 when he rushed over 1,600 yards, which was the most in NFL.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be honoring him this Sunday.
They need to.
Which I thought was pretty cool. One last thing before we go over to Demi, and she can join in on this, is the halftime show. Where the Super Bowl was announced. What was it? Snoop, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Mary J. Blige.
Woo, that's a lineup.
And Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, and Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, I left that out.
That's a lineup.
Right.
I love that. Now, I love that giving you a variety.
Now, that I may pay $1,200 for.
I do not agree with Eminem, but you know, everybody else I agree with.
she saw my face directly. It's just like, why don't you agree with Eminem?
Because I mean, I can see how he fits in there because Dr. Dre is there, but I mean, I'm like, I just don't care for Eminem in that way. But you know, this Super Bowl is the first Super Bowl in LA since 1993, so I understand like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Kendrick Lamar, like, and then you have Mary J. Blige as the woman, you know, bringing in the womanly, I can't get the words out, but she brings in that
she
woman.
She brings out that R&B flavor.
The R&B flair for flavor. The women, yes. But Eminem, I'm just like, I don't really care for him.
You know, I mean, you're right. I could see some West Coast people like Ice Cube getting in there.
Yeah, like more West Coast
Game.
People being over. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know why I said 50 Cent over Eminem because he also worked with Dr. Dre.
Well, yeah,
so
I can see
that. I'm like, what kind of music, does Eminem have to like really like get the crowd hype and things like that? Because you know, I'm thinking of Eminem right now. I'm thinking of Stan.
you don't think about, I mean, a hype song is Lose Yourself.
Well, okay, yes, but
I'm not afraid.
Not, you know,
like those are some hype songs that they do play.
Spaghetti on my chest. I don't yes. care. Like, I don't really care.
Well, we know what not to play for Demi.
All right.
Well, but speaking but otherwise, it's a really good lineup, though.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's time to go to Hollywood. Then.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. So, here's what's trending in your entertainment. Philanthropic couple Sierra and Russell Wilson have announced plans to release their first children's book, Why Not You, in the spring of 2022. The Wilsons have made major philanthropic strides with their nonprofit Why Not You Foundation, which is dedicated to education, children's health, fighting poverty, and empowering today's youth. The book is written by both Sierra and Russell Wilson with Janae Brown Wood and illustrated by Jessica Gibson. The book is said to inspire young readers to see the values in themselves and to go after their biggest dreams, no matter how outrageous they may seem. In a statement, the couple says, as parents of three amazing children, they know how important it is to share the gift of reading with kids at an early age, and that through the book, they hope to encourage kids around the world to read and for them to pursue their dreams with a why not you attitude. And the book is available for pre-order. And hip-hop fans, get ready. BET Networks has announced a special edition of the throwback TV series Rap City, which will air next week ahead of the 2021 Hip-Hop Awards. The hour-long special will feature exclusive interviews, never-before-seen booth appearances, memories from the original broadcast, and the legendary freestyle booth. The Rap City Revival will be executively produced and hosted by Big Tigger, the original and only host of the legendary show. Big Tigger says he's excited to revive the legendary piece of culture, adding that all of your favorite stars and bars will be on display. The original Rap City debuted in 1989 and existed as the preeminent hip-hop series dedicated to rap, music videos, important cultural commentary, and interviews with the most highlighted stars of the moment until it went off air in 2008. According to BET, the special Rap City 21 will continue to pay homage to BET's commitment to hip-hop and celebrate the stars of the culture's past, present, and future. Big Tigger is currently the host of the Big Tigger Morning Show, which airs on weekday mornings on Atlanta Radio. He is also the PA announcer of the NBA's Atlanta Hawks and the official DJ and in-game host for the Atlanta Falcons. Big Tigger shared a post on Instagram writing, "This is not a drill. This is not a throwback," with the hashtag Rap City Raised Me. The special Rap City Revival will air on October 5th.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I used to work at BET and did the show.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty cool. I never really watched Rap City because that wasn't my thing. You know, 106 and Park came on before Rap City. So as soon as 106.4 was over, I was like, okay, you know, I can go finish up my homework or go watch something else. But I do remember just the iconic moments. Like one time Patti LaBelle was on the show. You had these crazy moments where you had rappers go into the booth and do these like really like awesome freestyles. And it was just... It was honestly it was very iconic during that time. And I would just watch it sometimes to see who would be on there. Mm-hmm. But it was more so rap. So that wasn't like, you know, that wasn't my thing. But it's still a great show. And it's great to see Big Tigger back on Rap City and just in time for the Hip Hop Awards. So I think that's going to be really awesome.
I think Chris Thomas was the first host.
The first host.
Of...
Well, you know what? No, thank you for correcting me. But, you know, I was going to say Big Tigger.
But that was in 89, so that was probably.
Big Tigger is the only, right, the only host that I know. But, you know, there was a host before him. Right. And my mind was like, maybe. But I was like, no, it's Big Tigger.
Yeah. That's what everyone remembers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight on the Morgan News Hour this evening. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good night and be safe, everyone. Join us back here again tomorrow.
At 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock. Have a good night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab, right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show tonight.